King demands. His eyebrows rise. Sounds like it. I nod toward the bath. He starts chewing his lip, making no attempt to get in the bath. Will you get in with me? He asks quietly. I suddenly feel awkward and out of place. I can't. I shake my head and step back slightly. I want to desperately, but I know as soon as I surrender to his affection and touch, I'll be sidetracked from my aim to straighten my head to get answers. Ava, you're asking me not to touch you. That goes against all of my instincts. Jesse, please. I need time. It's not natural, Ava. For me not to touch you, it's not right. He's right, but I can't allow myself to get swallowed up by him. I need to keep a level head, and as soon as he gets his hands on me, I'm distracted. I don't say anything. I just look at the bath again before returning my eyes to him. He shakes his head, unwrapping the blanket from around his waist before stepping into the bath and lowering himself gingerly into the water. I collect a cup from the vanity unit and crouch by the side of the bath to wash his hair. It's not the same without you in here with me, he grumbles, leaning back and closing his eyes. I ignore his gripe and start washing his hair and soaping his fine body from head to toe, fighting off the inevitable fizzles streaming through me at the contact. Lingering around his scar on his abdomen thoughtfully, I quietly hope it will prompt him to explain it. It doesn't. He keeps his eyes closed and his mouth shut. I have a feeling this is going to be a tough ride. He never volunteers information, and he dodges my questions with a stern warning or by distraction tactics. I can't let that happen again. This is going to take all of my strength and willpower. It's just not natural for me to evade him. I run my hand along his rough jaw. You need a shave. He opens his eyes and cups his chin with his good hand, stroking his stubble. You don't like it? I like you however you come. Just not drunk. The fleeting look that passes over his face nearly has me convinced that he's read my mind. I'm not touching another drop again, he declares confidently, ensuring he maintains our eye contact as he makes his vow. You sound confident, I retort quietly. I am. He sits himself up in the bath and turns to face me, lifting his battered hand to cup my face and wincing when he realizes he can't. I mean it. Never again. I promise you. I'm not a raving alcoholic, Ava. I admit I get carried away once I do have a drink, and I find it hard to stop. But I can take it or leave it. I was in a bad place after you left me. I just wanted to numb the pain. My heart tightens in my chest, and I feel a sense of relief mixed with a little doubt. Everyone gets a little carried away when they've had a drink, right? I look past him, trying to piece together what I need to say. Millions of words have been trampling my mind for days, but now I can't think of any of them. Why didn't you tell me sooner? Is this what you meant when you said I would cause more damage if I left? His head drops. That was a shitty thing to say. It was. He returns his eyes to mine. I just wanted you to stay. I was stunned when you told me that I had a nice hotel. He smiles a little, and I feel stupid. Things got pretty intense, pretty quickly. I didn't know how to tell you. I didn't want you to run away again. You kept running away. I didn't get far, though, did I? I was going to tell you. You weren't supposed to come to the manor like that. I wasn't prepared, Ava. That much was obvious. All of the times I had been to the supposed hotel, I had been chaperoned or confined to Jesse's office. I'm sure people were warned off talking to me, and no one approached Jesse when I was with him. And he's right. Things did get pretty intense pretty quickly. But that had nothing to do with me. God, there is so much to talk about, so many questions. The nasty little creature who Jesse pounded on at the manor had some pretty interesting things to say. Has Jesse had an affair with his wife? I sigh. Come on, you're pruning. I hold up a towel, and he mirrors my sigh, before pushing himself up on the side of the bath with his good hand. He steps out, and I run the towel over his body as he watches me closely. The corners of his lips lift slightly into the semblance of a smile when I reach his neck.
A few weeks ago, I was nursing your hangover.
I bet your head is banging a lot harder than mine was. I dismiss his reminiscing and secure the towel around his waist. Food, and then the hospital.
Hospital?
He blurts, his voice startled.
I don't need a hospital, Ava.
Your hand, I clarify. He probably thinks I want to section him. I see understanding surface in his eyes as he lifts his hand up to inspect it. The blood has all washed away, but it still looks nasty.
It's fine.
I don't think so.
Ava, I don't need to go to the hospital.
Don't go then. I turn and walk into the bedroom. Following me in, he collapses on the end of the bed and watches as I disappear into his huge walk-in wardrobe. I rummage through his clothes, finding him some marl grey sweatpants and a white T-shirt. He needs comfort. I retrieve some boxer shorts from his chest of drawers and walk back over to find him sprawled back on the bed. Just getting him upstairs and bathed has knackered him out. I can't imagine a hangover on this scale. Here, put these on. I place the clothes on the bed next to him, and he turns his head to inspect my selection, letting out a heavy, tired breath. When he makes no attempt to dress himself, I pick up his boxers and kneel down in front of him, holding them at his feet. He's done this to me plenty of times. I tap his ankle, and he pushes himself up on the bed, looking down at me, a small twinkle lighting his eyes. It's another familiar trait. He silently lifts his feet and stands so I can negotiate the boxers up his legs, but then his towel drops when I'm halfway up his body, and I come face to face with his huge arousal. I release his boxers and jump back from him, like it might burn me or something. Not all of him is broken then, I think to myself, trying to ignore the steel rod of flesh within touching distance. I flick a glance up to him, and for the first time, his eyes sparkle fully. But it's not what I need right now, although my body's completely disagreeing with my brain. I struggle to control the urge to push him on the bed and straddle him. I'm not risking sidetracking either of us with sex. There's a lot to talk about. He reaches down to pull his boxers up the rest of the way.
I'll go to the hospital, he says. If you want me to, then I'll go.
I frown at him. Agreeing to have your hand looked at won't make me fall to your feet in gratitude, I say curtly. His eyes narrow slightly at my harshness.
I'll let that slip.
I need to feed you, I mutter, turning and walking out of the room, leaving Jesse to put his sweatpants and T-shirt on. Chapter 4. After showering and changing in the spare room, I head downstairs to find Jesse unconscious on the sofa. I watch the subtle rise and fall of his broad chest for a while, my eyes pleased, despite his evident exhaustion. It takes my mobile to shout and snap me from my daydream, and I quickly track it down, answering without bothering to look at the screen. Hello? Ava? Dan! With all that's happened, I'd forgotten I was supposed to see him today. It's so good to hear his voice. Where are you?
Just pulled into Euston.
How are Mum and Dad?
Worried, he states flatly. They needn't be.
Yeah, well, they are. And me too. Where are you?
Shit.
Kate! I lie. It's not like he'll be talking to her or visiting her to discover the truth. And anyway, Mum knows I'm supposed to be at Kate's, and I'm certain she would have told him.
Silence falls down the phone line at the mention of Kate's name.
I see, he says shortly. Still.
Oh, the detachment in his voice. They haven't seen each other for years, but time, it would appear, is not a healer.
It's just temporary, Dan. I'm looking for somewhere as we speak. Have you spoken to that twat of an ex?
The spite in his voice is palpable.
No, but I've heard he's been in touch with Mum and Dad. That's very nice of him. Fucking prick. We need to talk about this. Mum filled me in on her little chat with Matt. I know he's a snake, but Mum's worried.
I called. I defend myself.
Yeah, and I know you've not given her the whole story. What's with this new man?
I freeze mid-pace.
That's a good question. Dan, there are some things you can't tell your parents.
Yes, but you can tell your brother.
Can I?
I blurt. I highly doubt that.
Big Brother would probably join my dad in the heart attack ward.
This is the reason I didn't go to Newquay. Interrogation and nagging. I'll have to face up to it eventually, but not now. I've never been so glad that my parents live so far away.
Yes, you can. So when can I see you? He asks, chirping up a little.
See me or squeeze me for information.
Tomorrow? I thought we were doing today.
He sounds so disappointed. So am I. I really want to see him, but then in another way I really don't.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at a few places to rent, and then I've got stacks of drawings to finalize.
I lie again, but I couldn't possibly muster up the strength to appear reasonably normal in such a short space of time. Maybe by tomorrow I'll have dragged myself out of my hole of depression and uncertainty. I very much doubt it, but at least I have time to try.
Great. We'll make a day of it.
He confirms my fears. A whole day of evading his questions?
Okay. Ring me in the morning,
I say, and secretly hope he goes out with all of his mates tonight and suffers a dreadful hangover that delays his call to me. I need time.
Sure thing. See you tomorrow, kid.
He hangs up. I start thinking of ways to get around this, and after an hour of aimless pacing around the penthouse, I come up with none. I can't avoid him forever. The intercom phone system chimes and I answer it.
Ava, the maintenance man is on his way up to fix the door. Oh, and Mr. Ward's window has been replaced.
Thank you, Clive.
I hang up and make my way to the door.
I answer to an old boy who is already inspecting the damage.
You have a rhino ram-raid you?
He asks, scratching his head. Something like that, I mutter.
I can secure it for now, but it'll need replacing. I'll get it on order and let you know when it arrives,
he says, placing his toolbox on the floor.
Thanks.
I leave him, chipping chunks of splintered wood off the doorframe, and turn to find Jesse half asleep looking suspiciously at the door.
What's going on?
He asks. John had a fight with your front door when you didn't open it, I inform him dryly. His eyebrows shoot up, but then he looks worried.
I should call him.
How are you feeling? I ask, assessing him and concluding that he looks a bit brighter after an hour power napping.
Better. You?
Fine. Time to get you to the hospital. I'll get my bag. I sidestep him and make my way past. His hand flies out and grabs my arm.
Ava.
I halt and wait for a follow-up, any words that are going to make this all better, but I get nothing,
just his heat seeping into my flesh from his harsh grip on my arm. I look up at him and find him watching me, but he still doesn't open his mouth. I sigh heavily and pull myself free, but then I remember my car isn't here. How am I going to get him to the hospital? Shit, I curse quietly.
Watch your mouth, Ava.
What's up? My car's at Kate's.
We'll take mine.
You can't drive one-handed. His driving scares the shit out of me at the best of times. No way do I want to go along for a one-handed ride.
I know. You can drive.
He tosses his keys at me, and I panic slightly. He trusts me to drive a car worth more than £160,000?
Ava, you're driving like Miss Daisy. Will you put your foot down?
Jesse moans. I throw him a scowl, which he chooses to ignore. The accelerator is so sensitive, and I feel so small behind the wheel. I'm scared to death I'm going to scratch it. Shut up, I snap, before doing as I'm told and roaring off down the road. It's his tough shit if I do bump someone.
That's better.
He looks at me and smiles.
It's easier to handle if you're not pussyfooting around on the power.
I want to smile, but I don't.
Chapter 5.
I love you.
I come awake in a daze of darkness and rub my eyes as I sit up in the chair. It takes me a few moments to figure out where I am, but when I begin to focus, I find a handsome, dark blonde man crouched in front of me.
Hey,
he says softly as he brushes my hair from my face.
What time is it?
I ask sleepily. He leans in and kisses my forehead.
Just gone midnight.
Midnight? I'm sleeping for England and I could drift straight back off again. But I'm properly woken up when the shrill sound of a phone ringtone stabs at the silent air.
For fuck's sake, Jesse complains.
I watch as he yanks his phone from the coffee table and looks at the screen. Who would be ringing at this time?
John, he greets calmly.
Why?
He glances at me.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, give me a half hour.
He hangs up. What's the matter? I ask, fully awake now. He shoves his Converse on and stalks for the door, clearly unhappy.
Problem at the manor. I won't be long.
And just like that, he's gone. So I'm wide awake, it's past midnight, and Jesse has just disappeared. I sit in the chair like a loose part, and contemplate what's going on at the manor of such urgency. Oh no, Kate is there. I run into the kitchen and find my phone to call her, but she doesn't answer. I try repeatedly, and with each unanswered call I get more worried. I should just call Jesse, but he seemed pretty pissed off. I pace up and down making myself a coffee and sit at the island repeatedly dialing Kate. If my car was here, I would be on my way to the manor, too. Or would I? It's easy for me to say yes, especially when there is no way I can. After pacing the penthouse for an hour and calling Kate endlessly, I give in and go to bed, crawling into the plush, soft sheets of the spare room bed and curling up.
I love you.
I open my eyes and find Jesse looming over the bed. I'm somewhere between sleep and consciousness, and my mouth won't work. What time is it? And how long has he been gone? I don't get a chance to ask, though. I'm gathered into his arms and transported to his room.
You sleep here,
he whispers, lowering me into his bed. I feel him crawl in behind me, and I'm tugged back against his chest. If I weren't so contented, I would be asking questions, but I am, so I won't. My head hits the pillow, and with Jesse's warmth surrounding me, I'm gone again. Morning. My eyes open, and I'm pinned to the mattress under a heady scent of fresh water and mint. My morning brain is desperately trying to convince me to struggle free, but my body is blocking all of the sensible instructions trying to filter through. He sits back on his heels. I need to do this, he whispers, clasping my hand and pulling me into a sitting position. He takes the hem of my top and slowly pulls it up over my head before leaning into me and kissing the middle of my chest, running his tongue in a light, flicking circle up to my throat. I'm tense. He pulls back. Lace, he says softly as he removes my bra. I battle between my body's desperate need for him and my mind's strong need to talk. I want to clear the air before I'm dragged back onto central Jesse Cloud 9, where I lose all cognitive reasoning. Jesse, we need to talk, I say quietly as he kisses my throat and works his way to my ear. Every nerve is buzzing, pleading with me to shut up and accept him. I need you, he whispers, finding my mouth and claiming it softly. Jesse, please. My voice is a breathy whisper as I manage to break away. Baby, I do my talking this way. He grips the nape of my neck and pulls me farther into him. Let me show you. My body wins. I surrender to him like the slave that I am. He wraps his arm around my lower back and eases me back down to the bed, sealing our mouths on the way, my entire being jumping to life as his hot, wet tongue slips gently between my lips and glides slowly around my mouth. We're in gentle Jesse mode, and it's as if he knows that this is the best place to take me right now. His slow, steady breaths tell me he is in complete control as he rests on his forearm and uses his good hand to run his fingertip from my hip bone all the way up to my breast, a steady wave of tingles traveling up my body in time with his touch, leaving my breath shallow and erratic. He finishes by tracing the edges of my nipple wistfully to match the gentle motions of our tongues. I hold onto his shoulders, feeling all of the misplaced emotions flooding back into me under his gentle touch, his attentive mouth, and his hard body flanking me. My fear was completely justified. I'm lost in him again. I whimper as he pulls his lips away from mine and sits back on his heels before he uses his good hand to drag my shorts down my legs, taking my underwear with him. You need reminding. This is not the conventional way. It's how I do things, Ava. He throws my shorts and knickers to the side and pulls me up, sealing our mouths. We need to make friends. I can't fight him anymore. I hook my fingers in the waistband of his boxers and press my lips farther to his as I push his boxers down his thighs. He lets out a long moan, easing me back down onto the bed, causing me to lose my grip on his shorts. So I place my foot into the band and extend my leg to take them the rest of the way. He's leaning half on me, half off, his hard, lean body spreading the length of me as he claims my mouth, pushing his body farther into mine. Weaving my fingers through his hair, I relish the friction of his long stubble against my face. It's too long to be sharp or coarse, so it feels more like a soft brush is being glided across my face. He separates our mouths and buries his face in my hair as he cups me between my thighs and draws his palm up the center of my body, slowly over my stomach, and then gradually up between my breasts, finishing against my throat. I've missed you, baby, he murmurs against my neck. I've missed you so much. I've missed you too. I hold his head to me, feeling completely cocooned in strength, but he's not strong at the moment. I feel protected and safe, but I'm aware that it's me who's playing the carer at the moment. I'm overwhelmed, too, completely overwhelmed, with intense feelings for this troubled man. He moves himself, so he's cradled between my thighs, and I soon feel the wet, slippery head of his morning erection pushing against me. My mind is a jumble of mixed thoughts, but then he rests on his elbows and gazes down at me, like I'm the only thing that exists in his world. Our eyes say more than words ever could. I move my hands from the back of his head, so my palms are on either side of his handsome face. "Thank you for coming back to me," he says softly, as I stare up at him, drowning in his glorious greens, emotion flooding my entire being. I smooth my thumb across his moist lips and slide it into his mouth, withdrawing slowly and resting the tip on his bottom lip. He plants a light kiss on the end and smiles down at me as he lifts his hips while maintaining our eye contact, my pelvis shifting to meet him. I sigh in pure, unapologetic pleasure as he slowly, unhurriedly, and reverently slides deep inside of me. My eyes close and my hands slip to the back of his head as he fills me completely and holds still, beating and kicking inside me. His change in breathing to quick bursts of breath is a familiar trait. He's struggling to maintain control. "Look at me," he demands between pants, and I force my eyes open and gasp a little when I feel him jerk inside me. "I love you," he whispers, his voice cracking. I inhale sharply at the words I've desperately needed to hear for so long. Does he know? Is that why he's saying it now? Does he think that's all it takes? "Don't, Jessie." I close my eyes, my hands falling away from his head. "Ava, look at me," he demands harshly. I drag my swimming eyes open and meet a straight, expressionless face. "I've been telling you how I feel the whole time." "No, you haven't. You were hijacking my phone and trying to control me." He circles his hips into me, drawing a collective moan from both of us. "Ava, I've never felt like this before." He withdraws and pushes deep and high. I try to rein in my scattered thoughts, but a moan escapes. "I've been surrounded by naked women with no respect for themselves all of my life." He places his hands over mine, pinning my wrists on either side of my head. "Thrust." "Jessie." "You're not like them, Ava." "Thrust." "Oh, God." He pulls back and rams back in.
"Jesus."
He stills on a few deep breaths.
"You're mine. And mine alone, baby. Just for my eyes. Just for my touch. And just for my pleasure. Just mine. Do you understand me?"
He withdraws and slowly plunges back in.
"What about you? Are you just mine?"
I ask, shifting my hips up to capture the delightful penetration.
"Just yours, Ava. Tell me you love me."
"What?" I cry when he hits me with a hard drive.
"You heard me," he says softly. "Don't make me fuck it out of you, baby."
I'm stunned. I'm melting beneath him, crippled by pleasure, and now he's demanding I tell him that I love him? I do, but should I confess under duress? It's completely as I expected, though. He's been trying to make me the opposite of everything he knows, keeping me covered, preventing me from drinking, insisting on me wearing delicate lace instead of harsh leather. But what about the sex?
"Ava, answer me."
He pushes high and grinds firmly, a sweat breaking out across his brow.
Don't hold out on me.
His words hit me like a lightning bolt. Hold out? He's tried to fuck a love confession out of me before, in the ensuite bathroom last Saturday when he rammed into me repeatedly, demanding I say it. I thought he was looking for reassurance that I wasn't leaving. I was wrong. How did he know? There's another perfect grind, and my internal muscles start to spasm, tremors inching their way into the epicenter of my nerve endings. My legs stiffen. How did you know? I cry, throwing my head back in despair, both mentally and physically. Damn it, Ava. Look at me. He hits me with a full, hard strike of his hips, and I drag my eyes open on an angry yell. I love you, he shouts, reinforcing his words with yet another slow withdrawal and hard, fast attack of his hips. I love you too, I scream the words that are literally thrust out of me. He stops his movements completely, our breaths rushed and frantic as he holds my hands in place and looks down at me. I love you so fucking much. I didn't think it was possible. His words penetrate me deeply, the intensity of our joining making my heart kick into a higher gear as he looks down at me, tears pricking the backs of his eyes. He smiles faintly and slowly withdraws himself. Now we make love, he says quietly, rocking gently back into me and capturing my lips in a slow, sensual kiss, full of meaning. He releases his hold of me, and my hands fly to his back, slipping across his damp skin. His tactic has changed completely. Slowly and leisurely, he drives in and out of me, pushing me up toward complete rapture as I clasp at his damp back, holding as tight as I can. Sex with Jesse has always been beyond compare, but this moment holds a significant power that I never thought possible. He loves me. I struggle to keep my emotions in check when he pulls back and holds his face to mine, nose to nose, eyes full of sentiment. I'm coming apart. The consistency of his controlled deep thrusts has me shuddering and tensing around him as my core convulses and grips his shaft on each and every plunge. The sheen of sweat across his brow and his frown line deep with concentration tell me he's tipping the edge too. Tilting my hips up on a thrust, I moan as he fills me to my absolute limit. The feel of his rhythmic, meticulous tempo has me wanting to squeeze my eyes shut, but I can't drag them away from his. Together, he says, his hot breath spreading across my face. Yes, I gasp, feeling him expand and throb in penetration for his release. Christ, Ava! A rush of air escapes his lips, and his body goes rigid, but he doesn't remove his eyes from mine. My back arches on reflex when the spiraling rush of pleasure reaches its climax and sends me tumbling into a hurricane of uncontrollable feelings. I cry out in complete despairing pleasure, my body trembling in his hold, my eyes closing to blink back the tears that have developed as my orgasm begins to recede slowly and lazily with his continued even strokes. Eyes, he commands softly, and I obey, opening my eyes again. He moans deeply, and I tighten all of my muscles at my core to grip him and extract his release. I can see the battle he's having with his instincts to hammer into me and throw his head back, but he's keeping a rein on his control. And then you can almost hear the snap of his release as his cheeks puff out and he pushes himself into me long and hard, holding himself there, my muscles obliging his throbbing erection and continuing with their slow, easy constrictions as he pours into me. I love you, I say quietly as he looks down at me, his chest heaving. There, I've put it out there. My cards are well and truly on the table, and he didn't technically fuck that one out of me. He rests his lips on mine. I know you do, baby.
How do you know? I ask. I know I've never told him. I've screamed it in my head 1,000 times, but I have never actually voiced it.
You told me when you were drunk, he smiles, after I showed you how to dance.
I do a quick run-through of the night when I got ridiculously drunk and relented to his persistent pursuing again. I remember admitting it to myself, but I certainly don't remember blurting it out to him. Mind you, I don't remember much after Jesse escorted me from the bar. I was in a state. That's his fault, too.
I don't remember, I admit, feeling bloody stupid.
I know you don't. He grinds his hips and I sigh. It was so fucking frustrating.
It all comes flooding back. He really was trying to fuck a love confession out of me.
He watches me as I figure it out, and his mouth forms an O on a small smile.
You knew all along.
Drunken confessions.
I had beaten myself up about it for days and days, and he knew all along. Why didn't he say something? Why didn't he just talk to me instead of trying to fuck it out of me? So much could have been so very different.
His smile disappears and is replaced with a stoic expression.
You were drunk. I wanted to hear the words when you were of sound mind. Women get drunk all the time and confess their undying love to me.
Do they? I blurt.
He almost laughs.
Yes, they do. He drops his eyes. I wasn't sure if you still did after...
His teeth start a vicious workout on his bottom lip.
Well, after I had my little meltdown.
I inwardly laugh. Little meltdown? Bloody hell, what would be a big meltdown?
Women tell him they love him?
What women, and how many are there? I screw my face up in my own private disgust. I'm extremely uncomfortable with how resentful I'm feeling about any other woman having him or loving him. I need to put these thoughts right out of my mind and fast. No good could come of me knowing.
I love you. I reinforce my words, almost grinding them out, like I'm telling all of those women who claim to love him too. I feel his whole body relax over me before he continues slowly circling deep inside me. Pulling him down, I wrap my entire body around him. I feel like a weight has been lifted from my shoulders, but then it occurs to me that I'm in love with a man, and I have no clue how old he is.
How old are you, Jesse?
He pulls his face up, and I can see the cogs of his mind start revolving. I know he's thinking whether or not he should just tell me his real age and stop with his silly diversion.
I can't remember.
Oh, I might be able to play this to my advantage.
We were at 33, I prompt.
He smirks at me. We should start again.
No.
I pull his face down and rub my nose across his rough cheek.
We got to 33.
You're a rubbish liar, baby. He laughs, nuzzling into my face. I like this game. I think we should start again. I'm 18.
18?
Don't play games with me, Ava.
Why won't you just tell me how old you are? I ask, exasperated.
It really doesn't matter to me. He's 40 maximum.
I'm 31.
I sag beneath him dramatically. He does remember.
How old are you?
I just told you I'm 31.
I narrow displeased eyes on him, and one side of his mouth lifts into a semblance of a smirk.
It's just a number, I moan.
If you ask me anything in the future, I won't answer. Not truthfully, anyway.
His semblance of a smirk falls away immediately.
I already know everything I need to know about you. I know how I feel, and nothing you could tell me will make me feel any different. I wish you felt the same. Oh, that's below the belt. It wouldn't make a jot of difference to the way I feel about him. I'm just curious, that's all. You said before that I might run a mile if I know, I remind him. I'm not going anywhere. He laughs.
No, you're not.
Ava, you found out the worst about me and not run a mile. Well, you did, but you came back. He kisses my forehead. Do you honestly think I'm bothered about my age?
Then why won't you tell me? I ask, exasperated.
Because I like this game. He resumes, nuzzling into my neck. I heave a sigh and increase my squeeze around his warm, sweat-dampened shoulders, locking my thighs tightly around his hips.
I don't, I grumble, burrowing my face into his neck and breathing him into me. I exhale in contentment and trace my fingers across his firm back.
We lie silently for the longest time, but when I feel his body shaking, it diverts my thoughts to what lies ahead for us.
Are you okay? I ask nervously.
He squeezes me tightly.
Yeah. What time is it?
That's a point. What time is it? I hope I've not missed Dan's call. I wriggle under Jesse, and he moans into my neck.
I'll go check the time.
No, I'm comfy, he complains.
It isn't that late.
I'll be 2 seconds. He grumbles and lifts himself slightly to slip out of me, and then heaves his body off of mine, rolling onto his back. I jump up to go and find my phone, discovering it's 9 o'clock and Dan hasn't called. That's a relief, but I do have 12 missed calls from Jesse. I walk back into the bedroom and find him leaning against the headboard, brazenly naked and unashamed. I look down at myself. Oh, so am I. I've got 12 missed calls from you, I say in confusion, holding my phone up to him. A disapproving look jumps onto his face.
I couldn't find you. I thought you had left.
I had 100 heart attacks in 10 minutes, Ava.
Why were you in the other bedroom?
He fires the words accusingly at me.
I didn't know how things stood.
I may as well be honest.
What does that mean?
He sounds offended.
Jesse, the last time I saw you, you were a stranger who told me that I was a prick tease and had caused you untold damage. Forgive me for being a bit apprehensive.
His affronted look falls away instantly and is replaced with one of regret.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean any of it.
Right, I sigh.
Come here.
He pats the mattress, and I walk over to slide in beside him. We lie on our sides facing each other, our heads resting on our bent forearms.
You'll never see that man again.
I hope I don't, but I'm doubtful.
Will you never drink again? I ask nervously.
Now is as good a time as any to get the information I need.
No.
He places his fingertip on my hip bone and circles lightly. I shiver.
Never?
He pauses mid-circle.
Never, Ava. All I need is you, and for you to need me. Nothing else.
I frown.
You already made me need you.
Then you destroyed me, I say quietly. I don't mean to make him feel guilty, but it's the truth. He inches closer to me, so our noses are nearly touching and his hot, minty breath is spreading all over my face.
I'll never hurt you.
You said that before.
Ava, the thought of you in pain, emotionally or physically, is appalling to me. Completely unspeakable. I feel crazy just thinking about it. What I've done to you makes me want to plunge a knife straight through my own heart.
That's a bit over the top, isn't it? I blurt. He scowls at me. It's the truth. Just like I feel violent when I imagine another man lusting after you. He shakes his head, as if shaking away images that are cropping up in his mind. You can't control everything, I say on a furrowed brow. Where you're concerned, I'll try my best, Ava. I already told you. I've waited too long for you. You're my little piece of heaven. Nothing will rob you from me. Nothing. He presses his lips to mine to seal his declaration. As long as I have you, I have purpose and reason. That is why I won't be drinking, and that is why I will do everything in my power to keep you safe. Understand? Actually, I don't think I do, but I nod anyway. His determination and grit are commendable, but ridiculously ambitious. What does he think will happen to me? I can't be stitched to his hip permanently. Crazy man. I reach forward to brush my thumb over the jagged line of his scar. How did you get this? I try my luck. I know he won't answer me, and I know it's a sore subject, but I'm compelled to extract as much information as I can. I now know the worst of him, so what harm can it do? He looks down at my hand on his scar and sighs. Inquisitive this morning, aren't you? Yes, I confirm. I am. I already told you. I don't like talking about it. You're holding back on me, I accuse, and he rolls onto his back on a heavy sigh and rests his forearm across his face. Oh no, he's not evading this. I straddle his hips and pull his arm away. Why won't you tell me about your scar? Because, Ava, it's in my past, where I want it to stay. I don't want anything affecting my future. It won't. It doesn't matter what you tell me. I'll still love you. Does he not understand that? I frown when he smirks. I know, he says too confidently. He's pretty cocksure of himself this morning. You already told me that when you were legless, he adds. I told him a lot when I was drunk. So why won't you tell me? He places his hands on the juncture of my thighs. If it won't change how you feel about me, then there is little point in tarnishing your pretty little head with it. He raises his eyebrows. Is there? I'm not going to tell you anything if you ask me, I sulk. You already said that. He sits up and seals our lips, my arms mechanically wrapping around him, but then I think of something else. Did you ever find out how the gates came to be open, and the front door? I try my hardest to sound casual. What? He pulls away from me, looking perplexed. When I came to the manor on Sunday, the gates opened without me pressing the intercom, and the front door was ajar. I know it was her. Oh, the gates malfunctioned, apparently. Sarah had it sorted out. He pushes his lips to mine again. That's very convenient. Did the manual front door malfunction too? I ask, my sarcasm potent. I can't believe he bought that feeble explanation. I know what happened. The tramp intercepted my message, relishing the thought of me turning up unannounced and discovering the manor's offerings. Sarcasm doesn't suit you, lady. He gives me a very scornful look, but I don't care. That woman is a deceitful tramp. Oh, I feel full of determination all of a sudden, but slightly sympathetic for Jessie. He actually thinks she's a friend. Should I share my verdict? What would you like to do today? He asks. Oh, shit. I've got to see Dan today, and I can't take Jessie with me. What would that look like? I can hardly introduce Jessie to Dan. That's a disaster waiting to happen, what with Dan's older brother protectiveness and Jessie's trampling tendencies. How am I going to play this?
Well, there's just one thing I have. Jessie's phone starts ringing, halting my announcement.
For fuck's sake,
he curses, lifting me from his lap and placing me on the bed. He gets up and answers his phone before walking out of the bedroom.
John?
He sounds a little impatient. I lie on the bed, running through all of the ways I can break it to him that I really must go and meet Dan.
He'll understand.
I've got to go to the manor, he says sharply, stalking back into the room and heading for the bathroom.
Again?
I haven't even asked him what dragged him there last night, and I notice Kate hasn't called me back.
Is everything okay? I ask.
He looks pissed.
It will be. Get ready.
What? Oh, no. I'm not going to that place. I've still got to wrap my head around it all. I hear the shower turn on and I jump up to go and explain, finding him in the shower already. He smiles knowingly and gestures for me to join him, so I walk in and grab the sponge and shower gel, but he takes them from me and loads up the sponge himself before turning me around and beginning to wash me down. I stand quietly searching my brain for a way to approach this as he works the sponge slowly across my body. Surely he won't have a hissy fit over my unwillingness.
Jessie,
he kisses my shoulder blade.
Ava,
I really don't want to come, I blurt, and then scold myself for not being a little more tactful. He pauses with his swirling circles for a few moments before he continues.
Can I ask why?
He can't be so thick-skinned he has to ask that question.
Can you just give me some time to get used to it?
I ask apprehensively, while mentally begging for him to understand and be reasonable. He sighs and wraps his forearm around the tops of my shoulders, pulling me back to him.
I understand.
He kisses my temple.
You're not going to avoid it forever, are you? I still want my new bedroom designs.
I'm in shock at his reasonableness. No questions? No trampling or sense-fuck? Just an okay?
Have we turned a corner?
This is good. And as for the new extension, I hadn't given it a thought, but he's right. I can't avoid the place forever.
No.
Anyway, I'll have to come to oversee the work once we finalize the designs.
Good.
What's going on at the manor? He releases my shoulders and starts washing my hair with his men's shampoo.
The police turned up last night, he says, totally detached.
I tense all over.
Why? It's just some idiot playing games. The police rang John this morning to arrange a few interviews. I can't get out of it.
He turns me around and places me under the spray to rinse my hair.
I'm sorry.
It's fine, I assure him. I won't tell him why it's fine. I can meet Dan without worrying about a Jessie-style trample.
Kate was at the manor last night.
The concern in my voice is obvious.
I know.
His eyebrows rise.
It was quite a surprise.
Was she okay?
Yes, she's fine.
He kisses my nose and slaps my bum.
Out you get.
Once we've dried, and Jessie has adorned me in lace underwear before leaving, I waste no time. I grab my phone immediately to call Dan, and we arrange to meet at Almundo's, a little coffee house in Covent Garden. I run across the landing and dress in record time, calling down to Clive to order me a cab between drying my hair and pinning it up. I'm super excited. Chapter 6. I scan the masses of people having brunch and spot Dan in the corner with his face in the Sunday paper. He looks so well, all tanned and dazzling. I fly across the cafe and all but dive on him.
Whoa! He laughs. Pleased to see me, kid.
He wraps his arms around me and I fall apart all over him. I'm so happy to see him. and all of the built-up stress and emotion of the last few weeks just spills out of me. Again. He takes my hand in his.
Get rid of those tears right now, he smiles.
This will be the best thing that ever happened to you. You're well shot.
Oh, he thinks I'm in a state over Matt?
Should I let him carry on thinking that? The alternative is explaining a whole lot of other shit, and I can't do that. I would be here for months. I wipe my eyes.
I know. It's been a shitty few weeks. I'm fine, really.
Forget about him, and get on with your life. He rubs my arm affectionately.
What about this other bloke who Matt's been whining on about?
His name's Jesse. It's nothing. He's just a friend. I shrug.
Just a friend?
He eyes me suspiciously as my hand reaches up to find a stray tendril from my updo.
Just a friend and a few stretched truths.
I need to change the subject.
How are Mum and Dad?
He gives me a warning look.
Threatening to pay a visit to London and sort you out. Mum mentioned a strange man answering your phone last week. I suspect he might be the stretched truth.
My attempts at diversion have failed miserably.
Yeah, okay. Can we change the subject, please?
Dan holds his hands up in defense.
Okay, okay. I'm just saying. Be careful, Ava.
I sag, considering exactly what my parents will make of Jesse, and none of it is good. We order and chat about Dan's job, Australia, and his future prospects. His friend is expanding the surf school business and wants Dan to partner with him. I'm pleased for him, but quietly disappointed for my own selfish reasons. He won't be coming home any time soon.
How's Kate? He asks, while picking at the corners of his pastry, blatantly feigning disinterest.
I should refrain from mentioning Sam. I can't imagine Dan would appreciate such information. I abruptly remember that I've not taken my pill and start rummaging through my bag.
She's still Kate, I say casually.
I locate my pill packet and pop one out before taking it with some water, watching over my glass as Dan drops into deep thought. I need to snap him out of that immediately.
What about you? Any female interests?
I ask on an arched brow, swapping my water for coffee.
No, he smirks. Nothing permanent, anyway.
I'm about to lecture him on being a player when my mobile starts dancing around the table, and the temper trap's sweet disposition blares from the ringer. I smile. His telephone manners haven't improved. It's just gone 1 o'clock. I thought he would be longer than this, but maybe he's still at the manor and just checking in on me.
Hey, I love that track, Dan exclaims. Let it ring.
He starts singing along to it. I laugh.
I just need to take this.
I leave the table with my phone and Dan with a furrowed brow. I know he's going to be suspicious that I'm removing myself from his presence to take this call.
I'll say it's Kate.
I walk out into the sunshine.
Hey,
I say cheerfully.
Where the fuck are you?
He bellows down the phone. I pull it away to save my eardrums.
I'm with my brother. Calm down.
Calm down! He yells.
I get home and you run out.
Fucking hell, I whisper to myself, but not quietly enough.
Watch your fucking mouth.
I look up to the sky in despair.
I've not run out. I've come to meet my brother. He's back from Australia, I state calmly. I was supposed to see him yesterday, but I got a little caught up elsewhere.
I didn't aim for sarcasm, but it comes naturally.
I apologize for inconveniencing you,
he hisses.
Excuse me?
I'm stunned by his hostility.
How long will you be?
His tone hasn't changed. He still sounds like a pig.
I said I would spend the day with him. Day? He shouts. Why didn't you tell me?
Because I knew he would trample it.
Your phone interrupted me,
and you were sidetracked with problems at the manor, I spit. It goes quiet down the phone, but I can still hear his labored breathing.
Where are you?
His voice has softened slightly.
I'm in a cafe.
Where? There's not a chance in hell I'm telling him that. He'll turn up, I know it. And then I will be left explaining to Dan who he is and where he came from. It doesn't matter where, I'll be back at yours later. It goes quiet, and I wait, finally hearing him sigh.
Come back to me, Ava.
It's definitely a demand.
I will.
The silence spreads between us again, and I'm very abruptly reminded of the small part of Jessie that sends me crazy. Did I really wish this back?
Ava?
I'm here. I love you, he says softly, but it's strained. I know he wants to rant and probably haul me back to Luso, but he can't do that if he can't locate me. I know you do, Jessie. I hang up and exhale an exhausted breath. I'm beginning to wish I didn't know about Jessie's alcohol issue, because now I'm worrying myself stupid that I will push him to have another gorging session. I've always been an advocate of knowledge is power, but at the moment I'm favoring ignorance is bliss. Then I could hang up and think that he's an unreasonable control freak and be content to let him stew. But now I know. I've hung up, and I'm worried I've just dangled the proverbial bottle of vodka under his nose.
Is everything okay?
I turn and see Dan approaching with my bag over his shoulder. I give a small smile.
Fine. I settled the bill. Here.
He hands me my bag.
Thanks. Are you all right?
He frowns. No, I'm bloody not. The stretched truth is stretching my patience.
Yeah, fine. I plaster on a cheery face. So what do you want to do?
Two swords? He asks with a big smile. I return it.
Absolutely. Let's go.
He holds his arm up for me to link and off we go. I've lost count of the number of times we've roamed the halls of Madame Tussauds. It's tradition. There's not one waxwork that we haven't got a photo with. We've snuck around the place, entered restricted zones, and done whatever it took to get the photographs we needed to keep our scrapbook up to date. Childish, but it's our thing. We have an amazing day. I've laughed so much my cheeks ache. As it turns out, the only new waxworks in Tussauds are royalty. I had a photo with William and Kate, and Dan was captured squeezing the Queen's boobs. We had dinner at our favorite Chinese in Chinatown, and a few cheeky wines in a bar. I hug Dan tightly as we say our goodbyes at the tube.
When are you going back?
Not for a few weeks. I'm going up to Manchester tomorrow to catch up with some university friends, but I'm back in London next Sunday, so I'll see you again before I leave, okay? I release him from my squeeze.
Okay. Call me as soon as you're back in London.
I will. Take care, kid. He kisses me on the cheek. I'm on my mobile if you need me.
Okay.
I smile. He strides off and leaves me wishing he could stay forever. I've never needed him so much. As I enter the foyer of Luso, Clive is on the phone. I walk straight past his desk on my way to the lift. I really don't feel like chatting.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Ava!
He shouts after me, and I stop and roll my eyes before turning to face him.
Yes?
He shoves the phone into its cradle and hurries toward me.
A lady stopped by. I tried calling up to Mr. Ward, but he didn't answer. I'm afraid I couldn't let her up.
A lady?
He's got my attention now.
Yes, mature woman, nice with blonde wavy hair. She said it was urgent, but of course you know the rules.
Oh, yes, I know the rules. And for once I'm relieved he's stuck to them. Blonde, wavy hair? Not Sarah, surely.
How mature?
He shrugs.
Mid-40s?
I don't like Sarah, but she definitely doesn't look like she's in her 40s. What time was this, Clive? He looks at his watch.
Only a half hour ago.
Did she give her name?
He frowns. Nope, she didn't. I met her at the gate. She was expecting to go straight up to the penthouse, but when I wouldn't let her through and said I would have to call Mr. Ward, she started getting a bit vague with me.
No worries, Clive. Thanks. I board the lift and punch in the code. A vague lady who thought she could march up to the penthouse unannounced? I exit the elevator to find Jessie's front door open. Does this man have no regard for home security? I shut the door behind me and instantly feel on my guard. The sound system is playing. It's not as ear-piercing as last time, but it's the track playing that has me on edge. Angel. I run through the penthouse, leaving the music on. Finding Jessie is more important than turning off the tormenting song that reminds me of the awful day I found him drunk. I head straight for the terrace, but he's not there. I dump my bag and take the stairs two at a time and bolt into the bedroom. Nothing. Panic starts to flood me, but then I hear the shower running, and I fly into the bathroom, coming to an abrupt stop when I see Jessie sitting on the floor of the shower, his running shorts soaking wet and clinging to his thighs. His shirtless back is against the cold-tiled wall, his knees pulled up and his arms resting on top of them. His head is slumped as the water crashes down around him. Lifting his head to meet my gaze, he smiles, but he can't hide the torture in his eyes. How long has he been like this? I exhale a long breath of relief, mixed with a little exasperation, before walking straight into the shower, fully clothed, and settling myself in his lap. He buries his head in my neck. I love you.
I know.
How many laps did you do?
3.
That's too much, I scold him.